All right, welcome to The Gray Matters, where we discuss more than just the hot topics and headlines of the day from a black man's perspective. We appreciate that we are not all a monolith, and every subject deserves to be explored with nuance, giving a view from all sides of the culture. So, as usual, we are here to hopefully bring that to you every week with a little bit of class, some fun, a little bit of spice here and there. And our panel, as always, consists of three guys that are absolutely nothing alike, though if you haven't already figured out, you will soon come to find out just how much we love each other in spite of our sometimes very big differences. As always, I'm Billy Craig here, joining you from beautiful Delaware, and my two partners in crime, my good brothers, Opie Taylor is joining me from Nashville, and Deputy Barney Fife.
Wow.
In Portland, Oregon. Yes. How are you today, Barney? How you doing, Barney? What's the problem? Wow. Good to see you, gentlemen. Say something. What you got?
I don't even know how to respond to that.
Damn, Andy.
have we actually ever heard Barney say that on an episode? Even though you know he wanted to.
I mean, damn, Andy, that was cold-blooded.
Matlock?
Oh, boy.
Oh. Whew. All right.
That ain't what Aunt B said last night.
Uh-oh.
Mm. Right.
You know what? Just go.
Right.
Just just go.
Mm-hmm. Well, pull my buckle up at Aunt B. Talking that talk.
I guess this that would be a weird segue into the topic.
But hey, since we're here though,
since we are here, we're gonna pull up. Why not?
Right.
So our topic for today, we have appropriately entitled "It Ain't Tricking If You Got It," but to flesh this out, recently was not really even a recent thing, but we'll just talk about recent enactments that we've seen. It happens to be basketball players, but you got PJ Washington.
Corny.
PJ
they
Washington.
They say us football players are dumb because we bang our heads, but these hoopers don't.
Yeah, Brittany with PJ Washington with Brittany Renner, who wrote Zion. A whole book on him. You got Zion, who is in multiple situations at his current second
arenas.
Even arenas. We got what's your boy Jordan Poole, who paid $500,000. To date Ice Spice. So this isn't a knock on the actual culture of money. Like, you spend your money how you want to spend it. But this is a larger conversation on what happened. Like, how did we get here where we are using money as an object to bypass dating? Like, just the entire system of my whole entire game is predicated on I'm rich and that's it. Like, I'm gonna be rich and use the internet to get whatever broad I want, kinda. Because I think Ice Spice is now dating somebody else, so she just accepted $500,000 for no reason and kept it pushing. You know, it's been women looking to retire off of ball players' monies for that since ball players started making money. So I just wanted to kind of explore that and see. Is this a lack of game, or is this just the game at this point? So, since Paul got
do y'all know that up, Blake Griffin and Matt Leinart share a baby mama?
I do know that. She was fine, but she getting rich off both ends.
Boy.
She got residual income coming from television and athletics.
She get like, I want to say $500,000 a month between those two cats.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's some expensive nights. Let me jump. I'll tell you what, because I got a feeling Andre gonna have Andre, he's the resident superstar on the panel. So since I'm like, you know, the least, I resemble these cats that you name it the least. Let me go ahead and get mine off, and I'm gonna sit back and let y'all duke it.
Okay.
Because I know how you and Paul used to roll back in y'all's prime.
Wow.
Hell.
I don't even know what to do with that.
Yeah,
what am I supposed to do?
I almost crushed my pearls. Like,
right.
He did that Dave Chappelle me. Like, wait a minute. So here's the thing. I honestly don't believe that, and you already led with this. I don't think it's particularly new. What I will say, though, is this. In an honest moment, I kind of think there's a little bit of both, that there's some lameness here. And then there's also just the, you know, I got money, so this is kind of what I do. What I'll say, though, is this. I honestly believe that more men, if they had the money, would do that. And I'm not going to judge people and their reasons, but I don't honestly think that, and again, Paul and I, we've gone back on this a lot over the years. I don't think there's as many men out there with game as like popular TV and things that we read about in books. I don't really think there's nearly as many, because I think just like anything, I know you're probably tired of hearing me say it, having game requires some failure. It requires some work that you put in. You have to face rejection. And frankly, you don't develop game without rejection. You don't develop the ability to.
Boomhauer told you that in that episode on King of the Hill.
Yes.
When he took Bobby out to show what he did,
yes.
And Bobby was heartbroken. Y'all know what I'm talking about.
Yep. And that's kind of the thing.
Everybody what's happening until somebody say what's happening. Yeah.
Yes. And what happens is, and even though we're talking about it in this context of people essentially paying for access to women that they find attractive, and I know it's a little deeper than that. I'm just simplifying it for the purposes of what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. What I find is that if you're not willing to face rejection, if you're not willing to fail at something, you will not be able to learn the finer points of it. It's like getting on the microphone. If you're going to sing, if you're going to rap, whatever it is, you have to risk being booed. You have to risk being labeled as corny. You have to risk being people just even not booing you, maybe just not responding. You have to risk any type of rejection or pushback. And you literally, there is no replacement for that. So what happens when you have access to money, when you're famous because your daddy or your mama was famous, or you just run in these circles, you actually almost want to find a cheat code. And I just don't find that game is something that you can get a cheat code for. It's the reason why, and we've talked about this in previous episodes, even last season, different things like that, where you'll have these preachers that get out there. You have these other famous people who get out there who we look at it and think, why are they making a fool of themselves? They don't know that they're making a fool of themselves. They actually are shooting their shot, but they never learned, not to just belabor the sports analogy, they never learned proper form. They were never taught the right way to approach the plate or to actually have their hand placement on a ball when they take that shot. They never learned those finer things, and there is no replacement for that kind of stuff. You literally have to take there's a book I read, and the author talks a lot about how to become an expert at something, you have to do something at least 10,000 times, right?
You mean Outliers?
Outliers. Thank you, Malcolm Gladwell. And the point the point I'm making is that even though I don't find that particular math to always track in everything, the point is there are certain things you just cannot replace. You cannot replace the actual act of going out there, risking failure, risking embarrassment, risking the possibility of you get back to the locker room and you get clowned or you get dissed because you failed at something. And too many of the, I feel like this up and coming generation and some of the people that even in the past, they've never had to risk anything. And they think that the money's going to replace that. So it's kind of a blend. I know I didn't really dig on the topic, but my thing is people is what they say, game recognized game. There's a reason why that saying applies and it has held true all these years, because you know somebody who has actually done the work. You can tell just by talking to him for 2 minutes. You'd be like, yeah, he's one of us, so to speak. He knows what it is. And that doesn't mean that you're a player or whatever. I mean, look.
I'm way out of it.
But my point is that you don't have to be actively out in those streets. I'm not actively out in those streets.
Or G or whatever, it doesn't mean that you up to illegal activity. Yeah, it just means that you're a solid man.
You know what you're looking at.
Whatever that may be.
And too often, I like that word solid, because I think too often personally that we want to replace solid with like expediency. there is no way to get around certain things.
No shortcut.
There's right. no shortcut to it. And I feel like a lot of these cats, like Andre was just naming at the opening, a lot of these guys, there is almost like I'm a, you know, I make $20 million a year. I'm famous. I'm a baller, whatever. And then it's like, yeah, but this is part of the game that you literally cannot cheat. There is no easy access to it.
Before you start, Paul, I also wanted to bring up one other person that I don't know how I completely missed this person on the list, but he used fame and fortune and got himself in trouble. Old Rub and Tug in Cleveland, Deshaun Watson is also guilty of this on, I forget, however many occasions it was at this point that he got caught for, but
26.
26.
No, 26 were he got
alleged.
Well, no,
yes, I'm sorry.
26, alleged. 26 people who filed complaints, but it was, I want to say, like 60 or 70 different women that he had solicited. If I'm
what,
not mistaken.
Literally, it's what 26 formal allegations, 24 of them actually were followed up on, and there were charges. And then I believe, what was it, like 18 or something like that, and he settled out on whatever happened.
No, no, what I'm saying is all the women that he solicited did not bring him up on charges.
Yeah, right.
Right. Absolutely. Right. I think he was, I want to say it was 77 or something
yeah.
like that.
I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah. Over the time period, he was going for basically once every couple of weeks.
Once every week. It was a new
was
girl.
Was that it?
Off of
okay,
Instagram.
Once every week. Okay.
Over off 18 of months.
So I know I want, I just, I
shut just, that I man's was, account down.
I was disappointed in myself that I forgot him as an example of tricking. So my bad. As you were, Paul, what say you? Is it, I mean, I know Billy covered a lot with, you know, game recognized game and the no shortcuts part, but there just seems to be like we skipping steps. Like it's women. I think women want money. I got money.
I'm with you. Okay. So what I see is we have this thing called natural selection, right? Which affects all of us, all species, right? Survival of the fittest. And money has allowed some of us, it could even be racial if you want to take it there, to circumvent natural selection, to where the power and those sorts of things would reside in money as opposed to genetic code. So I believe that there are a lot of people who use money to shortcut genetic code because a woman might not choose you if you didn't have that money. Or access to these things. A woman might choose a different person if all things were equal. Does that make sense?
It does, but there's a gap here because, and the only reason I'm saying just from personal experience, like for those who are new to the
show, I'm still wrestling with that.
I get what you're saying. I'm just, there's, because I've experienced something different because before, for those who are new, I played college sports. I'm a football player, University of Louisville, whatever. But all that to say that I've been around the environment where there were still, you know, girls or women hanging outside locker rooms and things like that just to be associated with you. Like, and like, so it hadn't been hard to come by in most circumstances. Like, so the survival of the fittest, like you didn't even have to survive. Like I had on the, like if you just, they knew you were on the team, whether you were a starter or not, they were there. Like you survived just based on just, like you just walked out. It was like, oh, here goes a sandwich.
And for people who don't know, you don't have to play at the University of Louisville.
Exactly. I was just like, about to go into that.
People who don't know, believe.
I'm a small college football player and experienced the same types of energy, so to speak.
I tried to walk on and run track and played baseball traveling around at the lowest possible level you can get. And trust me, they will find you.
So I get what you're saying, but it's but that's genetic code, brother.
Okay. Okay.
They want to be around you because you're on a team. You're an elite human. Now, what happens is you have the guys who ain't on the team, who have some money, and they're usually in the frats.
Or they're 6'9", but it doesn't make them an elite human. It just means that you got you're tall.
No, you 6'9", you're an elite human, bro. What's
that's wrong the but that and that's my point. That is literally my point. You could be a horrible human. How many times have we seen somebody?
No, I mean genetically.
Genetically.
Oh yeah, and what I'm saying is that's part of what I'm getting at, though. I think there's a lot of people who didn't do the work to become elite human. See, the thing about it is I've never been 6'9". Okay. Mm-hmm. So therefore, if I was going to get selected and be on the team, it had to be for something other than being 6'9". You better be strong, you better be quick, be fast, something. But those are things you have to work at. It's and I'm not saying it's only this, but it's not lost on me that most of the people that Andre picked were basketball players, because the one thing you have to be a basketball player, that's a prerequisite.
It's probably six foot something.
You got to be at least 6'3" to even get in, to even get on the court and get a chance. And then even then, you've got to be
elite.
You got to be the Chris Pauls, the Steph Currys, the Isaiah Thomas, whatever. And that's kind of my point is that if you're not exceptional at something, you don't even get a second look.
Right.
Whereas with basketball, there were guys who were 6'6", 6'7". They couldn't walk without tripping over their feet, but they got chance after chance after chance. And I think that's kind of the point when I say exceptional human. Genetically, being an exceptional human is not enough. That's all I'm saying.
Well, central casting.
Okay.
There's some guys that just come out of central casting and they just ain't worth nothing, right? Yeah. Like we all know these guys. They got muscles. They can lift a whole daggone weight room, and then you get them on the field and they can't play dead.
Yeah, right. They go to acting. Right? Nah, for real. That's what happens.
Like, or wrestling.
Yeah, shout out to The Rock, shout out to Terry Crews, shout out to Carl Weathers, shout out to...
Hey, Terry Crews, Plato.
No, what I'm saying is they were... I'm not saying they couldn't play. The Rock could play. I mean, he played in Miami. What I'm saying is there are people who recognize... But they recognize my future does not lie in the NFL.
Right.
I have other things I can do with it. My point is there are some people, they have nothing else. And so it's almost like, hey, I got money.
He's at all.
They got nothing else. You know?
6'7" for no reason whatsoever.
Oh, that hurts. That's got to hurt. You,
no, for real. No, all seriousness.
I think that would be hell to me to be a 6'6" black guy with muscles and you can't run a jump.
But we know people like that.
We do.
We literally
we went to school with people like that.
And they sorry. And got the nerve to be arrogant and got the nerve to have a bad attitude and don't know how to cooperate and make friends and compromise. Like, you got the nerve to be stubborn and you're uncoordinated and you 6'8". Like, we know these people. And I'm not saying that as a diss. I'm only saying that at the end of the day, the point you raise about being genetically gifted, genetically superior, that's unfortunately why some of these people get in trouble, because they don't realize like that can only carry you so far. And when it comes to women, when it comes to family planning, when it comes to financial planning, when it comes to a lot of these things, being 6'8" does not save you.
It's like having big titties.
That's a great way. I don't owe you anything just because, and I'm talking about you natural, right? Like natural, whatever. But unfortunately, a lot of girls, at an early age. That is embedded. That is ingrained. This idea mm-hmm. that, ooh, you got a body. And then what do they something. Do? They lean on that idea that, hey, I'm pretty, I'm cute, I got a body, everybody wants me. What's up? Nah, I ain't gonna get enough, but let's go out. Let me get this free meal. And then it's like, you can't hold a conversation.
And then you get
these you're not thoughtful.
Or these tall guys who supposed to be hoopers who, yeah, they act the same way. And it's weird, man. Yeah. It's weird.
Yeah. But I don't know. I still don't know if you answer, Paul, if you clearly answer whether or not it's tricking.
What?
If you got it. If these guys out here and they got $20 and $30 million, it's always tricking.
Yeah. It's always tricking. I'm from Forest Park, bro. I'm from Forest Park. It is what it is. It's always tricking, bro. Now, if you want to spend on your lady, spend on your lady. I'm nobody telling you not to do that. I spend on mine. You should spend on yours if you want to keep her, right? But if you spending to get her, that's tricking.
Hmm.
See, spending on your wife.
Is there a limit though? But is there a limit though? Well,
what you mean a limit?
Like, is there a limit?
Reciprocity.
Well, what I'm saying is that I don't know. Maybe the patriarchy would characterize that as.
Well, the patriarchy would say that you owe it to her because she has a vagina.
No, I'm saying just being a gentleman.
Okay. I'm a generous human being. Generally, if we all sit down for dinner and you guys bring your children and your women and the check come, I'm going to slap my thing to the people before y'all even see it if I can. Just because pause. I'm a gentleman.
Pause.
But y'all understand. Come on, man.
I'm using one of yours because I was right. Like, if I said that, Paul would be like, pause. I'm uncomfortable.
Right. Right. You got me. I'm gonna slide my thing right quick, right?
So I need an adult.
Right.
You can't have my purse.
Right. And y'all not even gonna know what's happening. I'm just gonna be signing. I'm gonna be like, right. All right, what we about to do?
I'm gonna be looking for the bill, and the waitress would be like, oh man, Mr. Wilson,
it's already taken care of.
Right, yeah.
And you're gonna be like, where the bill at? And I'm like, all right, it's already gone. Right? Like, cause that's how.
And then I'll be like,
real, that's how real G's act. Right. Like, we actually try to snake each other out of paying.
Yeah. Right.
Like,
right.
I'm going to get it. I got to
leave
you
the tip.
Get.
Or, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Right. So is that tricking? Is that tricking?
No, because we had the established relationship prior. Now, if you.
Exactly.
Now, if you do the same as marriage, then that then that's a sad situation, but you also tricking there too to get friends. If you paying. With the expectation, like, I need people to like me. Right. I'm going to pick up the tab. Then, you know, it's weird, but, you know, that is what that is. But what I'm looking at when you get to the situation of professional athlete, even a professional athlete or somebody who's in a situation financially, mm-hmm. and you replace actual conversation and ability to hold conversation mm-hmm. with your wallet.
What does it cost?
And that's what I was saying. What that's is tricky. There a cap?
That's like textbook though.
But here's what I'm saying. I think there is a very fine line in that conversation where there's a difference between we got a coffee at Starbucks, had a conversation, I pick up the tab and it was, you know, $20 worth of espressos.
That's not what he's talking about.
I know that. And that's why I'm saying, but the reason
he
why
he's about $40.
What I'm saying is,
you know what? He's talking about $40.
Listen, okay. See, here's the thing. First of all,
I mean, at the end of the day, though,
for those of you who are listening,
like, let's keep it 100.
For those of you all who are listening,
look, the inflation and everything is $40.
Listen. Paul claimed to love me, but he is bound and determined to burn down and destroy my ministry by making references that I got to pretend like I don't know what he's talking about, but I know exactly.
$40.
It's right over there on the nightstand. Here's the point. I'm saying there, what I'm saying is, even with that, like, is there a cap where it's like, okay, it, if it were a dollar as opposed to $40, is it still tricky? That's what I'm saying. Like, is it the amount of money that is being spent, or is it the fact that you are trying to transactionalize a relationship? Is it because at the end of the day, that's what we're talking about.
Is it a service or is it an exchange of pleasure?
Okay, and that's what I'm saying, because right? Let's face it, if it's an exchange, just like with you and your wife, or if you're dating somebody, it's not the same thing as if it is transactional. And that's why I would almost define it that way, that if it is transactional, then it is tricky, no matter whether it's just friends, because you're trying to prove that you worthy to hang out with your boys, or if it's some woman or whatever it is. Like, it should not be, certain spaces shouldn't be transactional. And that's right. Unfortunately where game comes in. Game helps you elevate yourself to where people understand, I want to be in his presence anyway, whether there's a transaction or not. But game teaches you that, and that's the reason why you can't have a shortcut. You got to learn how to do that.
Which is supremely weird, especially when it comes to professional sports, like figures in general, just because of the fact that
they, like you said earlier, because they got game, but they ain't got no daggone game.
That's the point. It's like Andre said, Andre sitting out there, and if you're at the University of Louisville, you just get off the bus with your bags. By extension, people want to be, and my in-laws, they're all from Louisville. Trust me, they don't care who it is, basketball, baseball. If you play varsity Division I sports at the University of Louisville, they want to be in your presence, because
shout out to Sadiq Clemens.
Yeah,
you can absolutely come on, young fella, get you some sacks up. They waiting on you. And you should listen to this episode, because you ain't got to spend it, dog. Yeah, they coming.
Don't do it. Don't do it. Keep your money in your pocket, bro.
Homie Eddie, I know we playing. Hey, I know they coming, boy. They coming in row. It's a line. It's a line a mile long waiting on Sadiq, right. Boy.
But when you, but also with like people who've made it to professional sports, like the fact that you've had rejection. Like, I know the AAU handles, you know, gives you everything and all this other, but overall, you haven't made every shot you've taken. You haven't, you know, you done got bodied by somebody who's better at the game than you, or you just had an off day. Like, you've had failure, but you can't handle failure when it comes to relationships. That is an odd, like, the thing that actually makes you who you are is your ultimate confidence, but you don't have confidence when it comes to dealing with somebody else. And that part is the part that I can't understand, not because of like some kind of level of arrogance or anything like that. It was just the fact that, yo, like, even though I was who I was, I still had to talk to the females. I still had, because I wasn't going after just the average. Like, no, like, I mean, everybody got them. Like, no, I wanted like the real shiny object on the top shelf. Like the one when you was at Chuck E. Cheese, you had to have 100,000 tickets to get to. Like that was that was the one that I was going after. So it was like, I'll never forget. I won't rat him out. But it was the funniest moment of my collegiate experience. Do I want to name it? But it was a basketball player on the team at Louisville.
I already know who it is now.
We went out to a party and he was approaching a female. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget this because this hurt my soul. He approached her. He was like, yo, I'm this person, blah, blah, blah. And she looked him dead in his face and said, you on scholarship. You can't afford me.
That man ain't never recovered. I just heard that 15 seconds ago, and I ain't never going to recover from that.
I just sat there like, ooh, wow. All right, I'm going to head this way. Y'all, what y'all getting
into? All he had to do was text Coach.
At that time, it would have been Denny.
Was Denny Crum still the man back then?
He was still the man at that point.
Oh, yeah, he had Rick back then. That's right. Yeah, I forgot.
Rick was in Kentucky.
Crum was here.
Yeah, but – but yeah,
Rick would have got him straight. He would have been like, I just call Coach, whatever you need, you got.
That's what got us in trouble to start off
with. Wait till St. John's with that St. John New York man, money.
Put our banners back up. We won the title in 2013. Anyway,
well, you know what?
I didn't brought
yeah,
up.
Yeah, y'all did because it's either y'all or that other team that's up north.
Mm. Yes.
Yeah. So I'd rather hear it from y'all.
Yeah. Yeah. Decisions gotta be made.
Yeah. Punk ass Trey Burke.
But when we look at it, though,
shout out to Trey Burke, my bad.
Social skills, and I think part of it still gets back to entitlement to social skills and what we're teaching, you know, a different generation. So, again, for those of us first time watching, all of us are fathers. All of us, you know, played sports. All of us have been in that circle. We've been in that arena to varying degrees. And all of us, you know, either have children that are currently partaking in it or you know, hopefully someday will. So what lessons when it comes to dating or talking to or anything of the above are y'all teaching? Because if they end up lame, I'm blaming y'all. So I want to know what the lessons look like because I know their daddies was OGs. So what happened is what my question going to be when if I find out that young Wilson spending $250K on a date.
Oh, Lord, what are we
doing here?
Yo, shout out to Royal. He actually hit me on Father's Day.
Okay. All right.
Even though we at it. Shout out to Royal. I told that boy, find tall. Number one, we need some height in the family. You want a D1 athlete, you got to get some height in the family. Number one, find tall. And number two, if she ain't got nothing to do, like if she ain't got a sport or if she ain't like got a super like dope goal, you wasting your time. Because like mama's boss. Mama's a boss. Like she's executive vice president of American Institute of Architects in Oregon, the whole state. You want one of those? Or you want something that's just going to smile and say, okay. I'm not teaching you to go get something that's going to behave. I'm teaching my boys to go hunt bosses. We want Beyoncé's. We want Giselle's. We want Michelle's, Obama's, that is. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's what I'm saying. I want Sharice's and Jackie's. You see what I'm saying? Heather's. That's what I want my boys to go after. I don't want my boys to go after what Rousey used to say. She used to call them do-nothing bitches.
Mm-hmm.
D&Bs or whatever. Yeah, you want to go after a woman that's driven. That's going to challenge you. Now, that's not going to be fun all the time.
At all. No. And that's where the game comes in, is you're going to have to learn.
That's not going to be fun all the time, bro.
You're going to have to learn the art of war.
The rope-a-dope, bob and weave, stick and move, all that.
But, you like water, all that. All
but it'll be worth it. It'll definitely be worth it. I was actually going to piggyback off of Paul because 100% everything he just said. But the only little thing I would add to that is I remember someone told me this is shortly before I got married. He said, always remember, to Paul's point, always remember that the person that you choose is a reflection of who you are. Not necessarily a mirror image or that you all have to be identical, but she serves as a reflection because if you're a low character person, then you will tolerate low character things. You will accept, you will look for. And so a lot of times what will happen is you get frustrated. You get mad. I'm like, I don't understand. Yeah, you do. Because that's what you actually chose. But the other part of it is too, and this is something I teach my son, especially, I mean, he's a teenager, he's young, but you know, I often tell him, remember that nothing is permanent at that age unless you make it permanent. You don't have to stick to and stay in this permanent space. So don't take it so seriously. But part two of that is money is a tool. It is a tool to be used, just like I use my telephone as a tool to be able to communicate, or I use the faucet to get water. Like, we literally look at it, we don't have any attachment to these things. We also don't associate or attach our value to these. In the same vein, it's important.
I use tools and toys.
Tools and toys. There you go. That's a great way to put it. That's a great way to put it. Tools and toys. But along with that, I feel like some of the guys are using money as toys when they should be using tools, and then they're using their tools as toys. No, you got to reverse. Understand that there's
the hell you playing with a chainsaw for.
Yes, and then playing with a chainsaw, and then won't use a hammer to drive a nail. You rather use
right.
Like you got a whole collection of hammers here. Like, use one to drive this nail. Use a screwdriver for what it is. That's not something for you to sleep with. That's not right. Something for you to, you know, be out here throwing around the backyard with your boys, or you at the pool party. That's a screwdriver. That's a hammer. Like, get a beach ball for that. And that's what I mean. You know, I try to explain it because I feel like a lot of these guys don't have, unfortunately, where they may have great coaching as athletes and superior athletes, they haven't, again, when I say doing the work, they haven't done the work as far as getting the coaching, the requisite coaching that they need to be able to actually fundamentally know how to use the tools. It's like, you can have the best tool set in the world. You don't know how to use it, you will mess around and be paying contractors tens of thousands of dollars. They're overpricing you for things that you could have actually done for yourself in 10 minutes because you've never learned how to use your tool. So
that's Soulja Boy. Soulja Boy made that joint on Fruity Loops.
Yeah.
And put it out on MySpace.
Yep. Yep. It's legendary. It's literally a thing of legend what he did with nothingness.
Nothing. You
know? Nothing.
Yeah.
No,
shout out to Soulja Boy.
Yeah. Nothing that costs tens of thousands of dollars.
No.
Yeah. Mm-mm. At all.
So one other thing I wanted to explore before we wrap here is kind of our upbringing. Because as has been, you know, revealed on this show on a few occasions, I grew up in the nicer section of Forest Park, Cincinnati, Ohio, for those who aren't familiar with where we're from. And so I have a different aspect of money and the things that it can do and who's after it. Like, I grew up with that knowledge because I watched my parents have it.
Access to it longer. We all got a little piece of change now, but right, you've had access to it your whole life, where I had to grow up and get it.
Well, I had a middle stage where we talked about this on a previous episode where my parents let me fail. And so I've got, so now I understand what it is, what it's like to not have it, and now what it is to get it back. So, so I have a different mindset that I can teach, you know, my children from when it comes to that. But Paul, you have a different growing up experience as well as Billy does as well. Especially being, you know, starting a business 22 years ago and not always like that's a risk like that. Yeah. When you start off a business, you ain't starting off making millions on most occasions.
No,
certainly not as a black man.
You're broke for the first 10 years.
That's right. That's exactly right.
So when it comes to how we were brought up in our life experiences, like, let's just say, this is just a hypo, before any of our wives listen, I'm just bringing up a hypothetical situation. Okay. This is not anything we are planning. I just want to make sure we understand that. But if we started off today at your age, would you use the tools that the young guys are using, or would you still do it the old school way? Like, are we swiping left and right, or we on IG, or what are we doing?
Well, you I'm going to start that out because I can make this easy. Like, this would be really simple. I would definitely do it the way I did it. I would definitely do it old school. And a lot of that actually has to do with my upbringing. One of the things that growing up I did learn, because I grew up in a family where some people had some money, but there were so many other people in my family who didn't, right? And I saw how they kind of treated my family, you know, where we grew up in Forest Park. They kind of treated us like, oh, y'all made it, right? And so, and I have several, you know, relatives, cousins, uncles, who they played NFL ball. They played, you know, Major League Baseball. So it was like, it was one of those things where I saw that even with the money and even with the access, even having those tools or toys, however you categorize them, even though they had it available to them, I saw the difference between the ones who did it right with the old school toys and the ones who used their platform, used their money, used what they had available to them to cheat the system, so to speak, to get the hack, the cheat code, and it didn't work. And so I was fortunate in that way that I was able to see that. And so, no, I wouldn't replace it at all. I wouldn't even contemplate that because it became very clear that there is no shortcut to these types of things.
Okay. I am an ever-evolving human being. So, yeah, I would, if I wasn't lucky enough to find my wife and have a family, yeah, I'd be out there. I'd be outside. Outside. For real.
Right.
I ain't tripping. Like, and that's just what it would be, you know.
That's it.
And whatever it would be. Like whatever. Right. Would it be internet or... you know, leaning on the bar or whatever.
Yeah.
Like old school, however it would be. I mean, but what one thing is for certain is that if I didn't have my wife, I would be serially single. I would be like our last guest. I would be like, I'm not even looking to try to reach a connection.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Like, there's almost not in a defeatist kind of way, but there's a concession at some point. It's like, I'm just not doing this.
I can't raise children with you, then what's the point? I'm not just going to sleep next to you for the rest of my life. Now, that sounds really zero sum. And I know that's probably a reel that I just said. But I'll eat it. But yeah, if I can't have children with you, I'm probably not going to want to spend my life with you.
Right.
That's probably not fair.
Well, fair in the sense that, fair in the sense, it may seem unfair, but that's only if you just cannot deal with reality. If you just can't accept the fact that, you know, and I think, unfortunately, we've been having this conversation, but there's a lot of people that just can't accept the fact that it's okay. And we use this term a lot. We throw it around or whatever. We clown about it. It's actually okay to be lame. Most of your most successful, prominent
you should athletes aspire to grow into lameness.
Yes. And that's the thing. The athletes, the people that I grew up with, my family members who were successful, many of them, they were considered lame when they were young, but when they got older, it all made sense. Matter of fact, I was always considered lame and I got, you know, clowned for it. But hey, look at me now, right? Because at the end of the day, the drama, the chaos, the other things that sometimes can come with that whole I'm going to buy it and purchase it instead of working for it, those are the consequences that come with it, right? You 3-4
ATP that thing then.
Okay. My APB, who I'm looking for, are the lames. I'm looking for, and I'm gonna be even a little more specific. I'm looking for the lames that are men, young men. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I endured growing up and one of the things that I know a lot of people kind of went through was that you get mocked, you get teased, people make fun of you, people dog you for being lame, they'll criticize you. And a lot of times it's just kids being kids. It you know, back in our day, we saw it as harmless. And what honestly spared me from some of the more harsh, critical, like spirit crushing criticism was the fact that I could run. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I could move. And I happened to have an extremely high IQ, and I was an artist. I had talents. And so a lot of times you get spared that. But for the lame people out there, I feel like I need you to show up. And this is kind of my little public service announcement for all the lame kids out there. You're only lame now because kids just aren't that bright. You're only lame now because some of us have some really, really awful parenting skills. Lean into that lameness, because one day you being lame, like the people who are changing the world right now, most of the people who are actually, now I ain't talking about the people that are talking heads and the people who have a microphone because they came out of central casting. Most of the people who are changing the world right now are people who were once lames. They were people who were not taken seriously because they couldn't dribble a basketball. The rules. Cats who followed the rules and actually went home when the lights came on and actually obeyed their parents, actually did their homework, the stuff that people call lame. You know, I remember going to St. X. The countless jokes, because I went to an all-boys Catholic school, was phenomenal. It was amazing how many jokes I caught for just actually being able to get into St. X.
You didn't even go there that long. Imagine the jokes I heard.
Okay. And that's kind of my point. So I'm looking for not only the lames and the people out there who catch all that heat to lean into it, but even on a little more nuanced point, I'm looking for the parents out there to help your children understand that not being the kid who fits in, don't just say it's okay, it's fine, but actually give them some enrichment, give them something to build on, really encourage that, because too often, if kids don't get encouragement at home, if they don't have the support structure where they know that you're okay with them, they will succumb to that pressure. They will succumb to that peer pressure. I can tell you right now, as my son as a teenager, what actually sustains, and especially during the COVID years for past couple of years, but what often has sustained him is the fact that me and a handful of other people have reinforced to him this idea that, listen, I know you love your little friends and your peers and your classmates and everything else, but they're kids. This is not a matter of being lame or corny or weak or, you know, you a sucker. This is called life. You're growing up. You're being responsible. You're learning. You're doing the work that ultimately is going to sustain you for the rest of your life, your natural life. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking for those lame people that aren't willing to take a cheat code, and for the parents of those lame kids to help them understand you don't need a cheat code if you do the work. You don't need a shortcut if you're actually doing the work. So who I'm looking for are those people who are willing to lean into that lame, corny, you know, you soft, you weak, you're whatever. I'm looking for the people who are going to lean into that and say, nah, actually, I know there's a long-term game. One of the things I was teaching my son is that saying, what was it? Abraham Lincoln said, discipline is something, I may be butchering it, but Abraham Lincoln said something like, discipline is the difference between what you want now and putting that aside for what you want most, mm-hmm. right? There are things that you want in the big picture, and you have to be willing to put aside the things you may want in the moment to get to the big picture. That's really all that being lame is, understanding that there's a big picture here. And if my peers and other people don't appreciate that, then so be it. I'll see you at the next stop, and then we'll see who gets the last laugh. So that's patience. My IPB. That's it. All right, that's a wrap. We want to thank you once again for joining us here in the Gray Matters. As always, we appreciate every last one of you. Please remember to subscribe, follow us on all of our platforms. Make sure that you take the time to share with us, tell a friend. We're always going to be here. If you have questions, comments, things that you want to hear us discuss, make sure to leave those in the comments, send us an email, communicate with us and let us know. We want to bring you the content that you deserve and the content that you want. With that, once again, we'll say thank you. We are out. And until next time, be safe. Have a blessed one.
God bless.
Peace.
So a preacher, a stay-at-home dad, and a rapper walk into a bar.
I am my ancestors back from the grave, no longer a slave, beat to the gods, meal, pray, survive in my day, a threat to society, cause Malcolm showed me the way, I'm young, black, intelligent,
oh, now they afraid,
it's too late, I am the king, I am the spark to the brain, I am the light that fought the dark, and now you're seeing the rain, I am the thing they spent their whole life killing, to find out, I am the rose that grew from under their building, this ain't for life, this is a fight, so you can open your mind, peel the scab back, reveal the blood, and see what we're fine. Like LeBron, I am just one of a kind. No longer will I accept the blind, leading the blind. Keep it a buck, say what I want, not giving a screaming after World Light Park until the day my heart stops. And when I do, remember when I take my last breath, just remind the tape and witness all the knowledge I left the grave. So I said, a preacher, a stay-at-home dad, and a rapper walk into a bar. The gray matters.